Good evening, Saskatoon. Welcome to the Laundry List. We're at the Community Radio 90.5 FM, CFCR, where you always listen to the best shows that have to do with Saskatoon's community. And this is the Laundry List, your feminist show, always engaged in conversations about gender, social, and racial justice, and current events in Saskatoon, popular culture, and whatnot. And this is Manuela hosting the show today. And we were listening to Keep On Living by Le Tigre. And the theme of our show today is going to be the first part of two-part series on radical self-love. Yes. So we will be talking a little bit about that. But before that, I just wanted to, what would you call it? A shameless plug, I guess, into an event that is going on this week in which I am involved organizing and performing. And that is this Wednesday's the 29th. Wednesday, the 29th. There is a rock and roll bash in solidarity with Syrian refugees at Amigos. The cover is $10, and we have an amazing bill of bands, and all these bands have at least one female fierce musician in their ranks. So we have Belladonna and the Temps, Bon Jumbo, the Baby Fats, the band that I play with, and Man Meat. What a bill. And let me tell you a little bit about the Egyptian Connection. The Egyptian Connection is a group working under the umbrella of the MCC, the Mennonite Central Committee, and they are committed to sponsor a refugee family of four and help them settle in Saskatoon. So the group will be supporting a family of Syrian refugees for a year, helping them settle here. And this fundraiser is all proceeds are going towards these costs. So yeah, come rock and roll to some cool bands and party and have a good time and meet with your friends at Amigos this Wednesday at 10. Cover $10, all for a good cause. And again, Belladonna and the Temps, Bon Jumbo, the Baby Fats, and Man Meat. You can't miss that. All right. So most of you may have come across this morning to some feed on social media about Jesse Williams, the actor, and his speech that he delivered at the BET, the Black Entertainment Television Awards. And he received a humanitarian award for his civil rights activism. And Williams, who is known for his role in Grey's Anatomy, delivered a really powerful speech that I want to read to you as an introduction to our theme of today. And because I would like to call your attention to the fact that this conversation we're having today on self-love has everything to do with this new wave of civil rights movement that is going on in the US, with Black feminisms, with Indigenous feminisms, with Black Lives Matter, with I Don't Know More, and all these social movements that are currently pushing for social and racial justice, and many of them led by very powerful women of color. So I want to read the speech to you, and then we'll go from there. So this is what Jesse Williams said last night. He said, "This award, this is not for me. This is for the real organizers all over the country, the activists, the civil rights attorneys, the struggling parents, the families, the teachers, the students that are realizing that a system built to divide and impoverish and destroy us cannot stand if we do. It's kind of basic mathematics. The more we learn about who we are and how we got here, the more we will mobilize. Now, this is also in particular for the Black women, in particular, who have spent their lifetimes dedicated to nurturing everyone before themselves. We can and will do better for you. Now that what we've been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow managed to de-escalate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is that we're going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours. Yesterday would have been young Tamir Rice's 14th birthday, so I don't want to hear anyone anymore about how far we've come when paid public servants can pull a drive-by on a 12-year-old playing alone in a park in broad daylight, killing him on television, then going home to make a sandwich. Tell Rekia Boyd how it's so much better to live in 2012 than in 1612 or 1712. Tell that to Eric Garner. Tell that to Sandra Bland. Tell that to Darian Hunt. Now, the thing is, though, all of us in here getting money, that alone isn't going to stop this. Now, dedicating our lives to get money just to give it right back for someone's brand on our body, when we spent centuries praying with brands on our bodies, and now we pray to get paid for brands on our bodies. There has been no war that we have not fought and died on the front lines. There has been no job we haven't done. There has been no tax they haven't levied against us, and we've paid all of them. But freedom is somehow always conditional here. You're free, they keep telling us, but she should have been alive if she hadn't acted so free. Freedom is always coming in the hereafter, but you know what, though? The hereafter is a hustle. We want it now. And let's get a couple of things straight. Just a little side note. The burden of the brutalized is not to comfort the bystander. That's not our job. Stop with all that. If you have a critique for the resistance, our resistance, then you better have an established record of critique of our oppression. If you have no interest in equal rights for Black people, then do not make suggestions to those who do. Sit down. We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, and we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying Black people out of sight and out of mind, while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, Black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rings of strange fruit. The thing is, just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real. What a beautiful, powerful speech Jesse Williams delivered last night. And you can find it online. It's everywhere today. And this is a good introduction to talk about our theme of today, radical self-love. What does it mean? Is it just kind of like a new type of consumer culture of individualism and selfishness? No, it runs way more deeper than I. And I wanted to point to you, a local author that has been reflecting and writing about this issue for quite a bit. And I think that Erica Violet Lee is one of the most prominent philosophers we have right now in Canada. She's an Indigenous feminist philosopher, and you can follow her on her blog, moontimewarrior.com. And she's been reflecting on this issue for quite a bit. How loving yourself is such a huge act of resistance and of decolonizing. And of course, this issue of self-care, self-love, body image, self-esteem, these are themes that have been present within feminist movement and feminist theory for quite a while. And feminists have been reflecting for a long time how a patriarchal system and the way that girls and women are socialized into this system creates a sort of a distance between women and girls and their bodies, in which they scrutinize, they learn to scrutinize and evaluate and assess their bodies and their image through what has been called a male gaze, right? An idea that their bodies are going to be scrutinized and measured against certain parameters that are always completely unrealistic, and the ways that we're always kind of like set up to fail to love ourselves because we can never achieve kind of this unrealistic feminine ideal. So, you know, feminists all over have been thinking about these issues for quite a bit, and even though, you know, we can recognize that the issue of self-love and self-care and body image, they do affect all women across class, race, sexuality, age, and ability, it does affect them differently. So women will experience these messages and these demands differently, right? Depending on their class, their race, their sexuality, their age, and ability. Right. And especially when you are on the at the intersection of multiple oppressions. Right. When you are oppressed by your class, when you are subjected to racism, to homophobia, to ageism or ableism. Right. All these forms of oppression, it really makes it just not so obvious that you can just love yourself, right? What are the elements that you need to value yourself? If you can never recognize yourself in representations, in popular culture, or if you know that your body is under constant attack, if your image is under constant attack, if society constantly tells you that you are worthless because you are not young and perfect and beautiful like the women in magazines, etc. So all these ways in which patriarchy undermines our confidence and our sense of self-worth, it's important to recognize that both it does affect all women, but it affects women differently depending on where they are standing in relation to intersecting systems of oppression. Now, if you just tune in, I want to remind you that you're listening to The Laundry List, your community radio feminist show that keeps you thinking and is always inviting you to reflect about multiple issues from a feminist lens. And today is your host, Manuela, right here, talking to you, inviting you to think about the connections between patriarchy and the need for self-love, self-care, and the idea of what it means, radical love. And again, these are not new ideas altogether, but they have acquired a very pressing sense in the context of these new social movements that have emerged in North America, especially Idle No More and Black Lives Matter, both movements led by women of color, and how they are establishing these connections between systems that oppress us through institutions, etc., and how we have internalized many of these messages. And so when we're talking about radical self-love, it's important to differentiate this concept from another interpretation of this notion that has come up in kind of like mainstream culture, which is kind of like a very superficial version of self-love and self-care, and in a very narrow consumerist and individualistic way. But the type of radical love and self-love that I want to discuss today is one that is framed again within the context of a feminism that is invested not only in gender justice by itself, or that understands that gender justice cannot be carried without an attention to racial justice and social justice, right? So again, it's not just like a superficial message about being fabulous and take a bubble bath every day. You know, researching on this topic, I came across Gala Darling, who is an author who just published a book called Radical Self-Love, A Guide to Loving Yourself and Living Your Dreams. And while I recognize that this might be a very useful tool for many women to empower themselves and reflect about, you know, self-love and self-care and body image, I disagree with the way that she frames the issue of radical self-love. And in particular, because she's a white woman who is claiming to have kind of like invented the concept of self-love. For example, in her website, she says, radical self-love started in my bedroom and became a worldwide movement. No, Gala Darling, you are wrong. Radical self-love has emerged, in particular, as we have been saying, in the context of social justice and racial justice movements, and as a deep reflection on how we have internalized the racist, sexist, misogynist messages that a patriarchal society has taught us, right? We've been taught that we're never gonna be perfect, but this, again, affects us differently as women across lines of class, race, sexuality, age, and ability. So it's important that we recognize these multiple different places from where we speak, and that we don't buy into just this kind of like consumerist version of radical self-love. It's not about buying your book, Gala Darling, and being fabulous again and taking a bath every day, even though if that's empowering for some women, that's okay. But the concept that we want to introduce to you listeners of Saskatoon today is something that has to do not just with individuals, but with relationships and with structures of oppression. And how can we love ourselves when our bodies are under attack by institutions, by representations, by the media all the time, both symbolic and physical violence? So one really good article that I want to invite you to read is from rabble.ca blogs. And it's an article called Our Bodies Are of This Land, Decolonization and Indigenous Women's Radical Self-Love. This is an article by Samantha Nock, who is a Métis woman. She... again, is putting the concept of self-love in the context of struggles for decolonization, and she has very, very, very valuable insights that I would like to share more with you. But I am thinking that maybe I will go into that article more in depth next week. The next episode that we talk about this. For now,